for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday morning, March 28, 1986. Passover weekend teaching and deliverance seminar being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jack Harris and Tommy Cook are the speakers.
Lord, turn again the captivity of Zion, we were like them the dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongues with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. Well, we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams of the south. He that soweth in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Then there's that passage that says, cast your bread upon the waters, and after many days, it shall return to you. And I always say it'll have a little peanut butter on it when it gets back. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I lift up mine eyes unto the hills, and whence cometh my help? My help cometh from God, that made heaven and earth. He shall not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee shall not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. He is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. The Lord shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and coming in from henceforth and even forevermore. Hallelujah.
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 Glory to God.
Oh, blessed be God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The Lord God reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. He is clothed with strength, whereof he girdeth himself. The earth is established that it cannot be moved. Thy throne, O Lord, is established of old. The floods have lifted up. Floods have lifted up their voices. The floods have lifted up their waves. But the Lord God on high is mightier than the voices of many waters.
Hallelujah.
He is mightier than the waves of the sea. Thy testimony is a very sure and holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe we've got a winner here.
Hallelujah.
Thank the Lord. If God be for us, who can be against us? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Hallelujah. Oh, yes. With him we stand this day. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, for a few minutes, I'd like to share a thought with you, and I will call, or I'll give it a title just for the sake of the tape, for no other reason. And let's call this On to Deliverance Through the Ministry of the Church. Yeah, and that's a pretty good title in it. Well, I like to do that, then you don't, you know, if you get off with a good title, you don't have to do much after that. They just focus kind of on the title, you know. Yeah, praise the Lord. Listen what happens here. This will be, I'll teach and preach, and I don't know what it'll be. We have to just see. But let's start in Ephesians chapter 3, and just for setting here in chapter 3 of Ephesians, and verse 21, I just want this statement. Unto him, that is, unto Jesus Christ, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, that is, this glory is unto God, it's in the church, and it's by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. If it lasts that long, that's long enough for me. Hallelujah. Let's see. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. I'll tell you, the church is the important function in the world today. Without the local assemblies such as this, and the ones that you come from, I'll tell you, all of the fanfare religious orders would soon fall through anyhow, and nothing could ever be established. I'd like to now turn our attention to St. Matthew. I'm going to lay a little bit of a foundation here, and then we're going to move into a little teaching here, and I've got to save some time for my brother back here. He's getting all primed and ready while I'm doing this. Again. In the 24th chapter of St. Matthew, we said in verse 14, and notice that, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. What a beautiful statement this is, and there are several things that I might like to point out concerning this statement, that he says, in this gospel of the kingdom, that is a specific gospel. Hallelujah. There is a gospel of salvation. Well, of course, salvation is all-inclusive, but there is a gospel of salvation by the grace of God, and that's about as far as that group goes. And that's good. That's good to get into that gospel. But this is a gospel of the kingdom of God. There is another gospel beyond this that is an everlasting gospel. God is hewing a rock out of the mountain now. Well, the rock has already been hewn out. It is now tumbling and rolling and gathering momentum, and it will tear down all the kingdoms of this world. Oh, blessed day when the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. And that's what's going on today. That's why all the turmoil in all of the political systems around you. That's why that even the best political leaders make bad decisions. You know what's happening? It is the ministry of the elect, the ministry of the sons of God, the ministry of the overcomer is binding the power of carnal thinkers. Hallelujah. And so they surround themselves with the most knowledgeable men in every field. And they compile all of the information, and then they equate it and make their decisions, and invariably they're making wrong decisions. If they say the indicator is supposed to go up, it comes down. What's wrong? I'll tell you, the ministry of the sons of God is beginning to bind the ability. Hallelujah. And binding the decision-making. We're binding the strong man of the house because we're going to loot his goods. Hallelujah. And eradicate his influence. Oh, for 1,000 years, we will be eradicating the influence of the adversary. Hallelujah. Praise God forever. We'll be backing it up. Hallelujah. We'll find the source and then go as far as the source has reached and trace it right back to its origin and put him under our feet. Hallelujah. Oh, glad day. Oh, what a beginning it will be. I don't know what will be the first thing we'll do, but we'll be changing the billboards. We'll change the television commercials. Hallelujah. And everything, instead of being programmed toward evil imaginations continually, will be pointing to Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Until that last enemy, hallelujah, is put under our feet, and then there'll be no more death. Hallelujah. For the King of Life will reign. Life is ever Lord of death. Love can never lose its own. If you love God and each other in God, we'll be leaving here and going home. But I declare unto you that if we love God and each other in God, we'll never meet for the last time. Throughout the eons of the eons, hallelujah, amen, we'll still be crossing trails and glorifying our God, which is in heaven. Hallelujah. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come. I know this to be a specific gospel. How do I know? Because he makes it a specific gospel here. How else do I know? I've been in all parts of the world. I have never been anywhere yet. There is not a nation under the sun that the gospel of salvation but grace has not penetrated. Now, I do not stand here to say that every person in the world has heard the message, that he's talking about nations here, and every nation has received the gospel. Missionaries have been there. They taught them to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. This didn't bring the end of the age. But when the gospel of the kingdom is preached to all nations, then all the world will witness unto all nations, then shall the end come. But what is the end? Somebody says, well, what is this? Oh, this is the end of an age and the birth of another that is much more glorious than the one that just died. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, praise God. What a thrilling aspect it is to preach this kingdom message in all the world, to witness unto all nations. Hallelujah. And watch the end of the age come upon a people. Hallelujah. My Lord, that will, that if we're ready, we will not have to go by the way of the grave, but we'll be translated. Hallelujah. This body will be changed into a body fashion like unto his own glorious body. Hallelujah. And at that point, nothing shall by any means hurt company. If it runs over you, it won't hurt you. Hallelujah. If it bumps into you, it won't hurt you. If you swallow it, it shall by any means not hurt you. What am I saying? I'll just be frank and plain with you. I'm saying that immunity will come to the sons of God some perhaps 3.5 years before the age ends. Hallelujah. This will be a first fruits company. Are you ready? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, Thou art my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Thee will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, neither the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noontime. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion, the adder, and the young lion, the dragon, shalt thou trample under feet, because he hath set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him, and I will honor him. And I will set him up on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call unto me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. Will I satisfy him and show him my salvation? Are you ready for that? Are you ready when 1,000 falls at one side and 10,000 falls at the other side, and you are to stand? Will you be one in 11,001? Are we ready? Hallelujah. He shall cover thee with his feathers. I guess I ought to tell you about my storm shelter here before I go any further. Some years ago, you know, when Russia was, we had the scare from Russia and people building storm shelters in their backyard and putting fruit and, you know, supplies down in there. That's where they're going to get one, get away from the fallout. So a fella comes to my house, let me build you a fallout shelter, Bud Jack. And I said, I got one. Oh, he said, I didn't know you had one. Yeah. I said, well, he said, who built it? He asked me about 3 questions real fast. Who built it? What kind of guarantee? And what's it built out of? But first he says, then before I can answer him, he says, our competitor, our strongest competitor, he gives you a 15-year guarantee, and he builds them out of sheet steel and insulation, 2 sheet steel, 5/8 part with a pack of insulation. It's a pretty good storm shelter, but if it rains too much, it may throw down the ground. So we build ours out of cement and reinforced steel, barbed wire, and insulation. It's a lot heavier. We give a 25-year guarantee, and it won't float out of ground. And then he said, what is yours built out of? And I said, feathers. He said, feathers? Hallelujah. He said, well, is that very substantial? And I said, it's very substantial. Built by the oldest builder in the world. Hallelujah. And as far as the guarantee, he never has defaulted on one of them. Hallelujah. And another thing I like about it is portable. I liable to be at the post office when they sound the siren. And I haven't got time to run a mile scuttling a hole. Hallelujah. Well, who wants to be the last survivor of a nuclear holocaust? Hallelujah. My feelings on it is, if God wants me to survive, He give me lungs to breathe, whatever it is. Nothing shall by any means hurt them. When 1,000 falls at this side, 10,000 at this side. Oh, hallelujah. Well, but are we ready? I told you last night that I can appreciate many concepts. Concepts are nothing until you know the mechanics. Tell me the mechanics. Don't tell me I ought to get saved if I'm lost. Give me the mechanics. Well, you can tell me I ought to get saved, but then you ought to give me the mechanics. The mechanics is how you do it. How do I do this? I want to know, how do I do this? You see, Jesus didn't disturb Israel as long as he was just a projection in here. As a matter of fact, they just gloried in him. And they were so proud of their national prophets that prophesied a Messiah. And they didn't have a bit of trouble with him until he stepped out of the book. When the Word was made flesh and dwelled among them, he gave them a problem. They wanted him to get back in the book. And let us just have a concept of Jesus. Let us just form our own opinion and concept from the words of the prophets. You disturb us when you walk among us. As long as we keep everything. You know, that's what's happened to the religious world. We've kept everything hemmed up in concepts. And it don't bother us so much until somebody comes along and begins to teach us the mechanics. And then we find that it's a little straighter off than we wanted to be prepared to walk. Yes. Hallelujah. We find that it's more demanding than we thought it was. And, oh, praise the Lord. The Word became flesh and dwelt among men. We beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, what does that mean? The Word became flesh. God was trying to... You know what God was always trying to tell Israel? And they never could understand what He was trying to say. God was trying to say simply three words to Israel. I love you. And I don't blame them for misunderstanding, though. I mean, how could they get that concept from that mountain that shook and blazed with fire and the thunderstorm came, the lightning flashed, the rock flashed? They fell back for 12 miles, said, Moses, we don't want no more of this. There you go. And if you'll listen to what he says and tell us, we'll do it all.
Yeah, we'll do it all.
Hallelujah. And they didn't do any of it. Hardly any of it, anyhow. But I had I been there, I wouldn't have understood God either. God, out of all that, all God was trying to say is, Israel, you're my people, I love you. I'm going to make a strong people out of you. But God's ways are so much higher than man's ways, they couldn't understand it. God could not converse with them. They didn't want to hear what he had to say. They wanted to hear it. They didn't want to hear it directly from God. God, he just couldn't converse with them. Now, how would he converse with man? He tried, all right, I'll give them a law. Give them a law. And they'll break it. And they'll mutilate it. They'll ignore it. They'll transgress it. Well, I'm going to tell them I love them. I'm going to tell them my intentions are good toward them. Hallelujah. So how would you do that? All right, there was only one way. He had to identify with the man that he wanted to talk to. He had to become one of us. And that's what happened. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among men. Hallelujah. And we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I say to Brother John, when you say we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, whom are you referring to? For the Scripture is clear that the mass multitude did not behold His glory. John would thereby say, well, I was talking about a few of us, Brother Jack. Yeah. Hallelujah. I know it. Just a few beheld His glory. Others had many opinions. I'll tell you, it hasn't changed much either. Today, just a few are beholding the glory of God. And others are seeing many signs. The prophet Isaiah said His image was marred more than any other person. There are more Jesuses than I ever dreamed about today. Hallelujah. There's a Baptist Jesus, a Methodist Jesus, a Presbyterian Jesus, Charismatic Jesus, Move of God Jesus. Everybody has their own Jesus, by and large. And if you compare notes, there's not much resemblance in some of them. What has happened? Oh, hallelujah. Paul would, he said to the Corinthians, that you all speak one thing, the same thing. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, there is one God who is the Father of us. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. There is just one. And when we shall see Him, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. Oh, when we see Him as He is, I'll tell you, a lot of people are going to be surprised when they see Him as He is. Can you see Him as He is today? The Word. So God wanted to communicate. And so the Word became flesh. I have an example here that's very real to me, that makes this passage so very real to me some years ago. Well, of course, The actual experience happened years way back when I was a youngster and I started school. That was where I live now. And back then it was the three R's. But children learned a lot, you know. That's all they did, study the books. And we learned the timetables and how to spell and write your name in first grade, second grade. We expand a little, learn how to add and subtract and spell a little more words with a few more letters in them. And then we come back with the third grade. Now, in all of this, I had been an honor student. And in the arithmetic was where I excelled. So we came back with the third grade, and they gave us I come out of there with about five books in my arms. We just had a couple, you know, two or three. And one of them was a health book. And on the first page of that health book was a big old glass of milk. On the second page was fried eggs and sausage. And on the next page was ham and bread. So this is health food, so I eat it so I grow big and strong. And now, 50 years later, they tell me it's going to kill me. So now I don't know. Now I don't know whether to live or die. Amen. So I think I'll just prove them wrong and live. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm not worried about living or dying. I've already eaten of that manna that come down from heaven. And he said, if I eat of that, I'd never die. He said, somebody said, are you a never die preacher? And I said, no, I preach live forever. I let them never die. I have on the other side of it. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. Well, the Lord didn't ask me, though, that day when he said to Martha, he that believeth, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He that liveth and believeth on me shall never die. He said, believest thou this? No. Did he say that? Is that what he said? Did he say to Martha, he said all this to Martha, and then he said, Martha, you understand all the theology here? Yeah. Can you go back and get all the types from the Old Testament and bring them to the fulfillment here today? No, he didn't ask her any of that, did he? He just said, do you believe it? She said, yeah, Lord, I believe. Hallelujah. Well, I believe too, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. He didn't ask me to understand all the... I don't have any problem with it because I understand it. I don't have any problem with all of the problem doctrines, I don't have any problem with them. I don't have any problem with any of them. I don't have any problem with baptism and... Yeah, I came up through the old school where they used to argue for days, weeks, years, months, decades on how to baptize. I never did have a problem with that. You know why I didn't have a problem with it? Because I knew it wasn't what I said over somebody in a tub, a baptismal tub. It's what I pull up out of that water. That really counts. Hallelujah. Yeah. Isn't that loud? Yeah. It's what comes up. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, all right, so the gospel of the kingdom. All right, I was going to tell you this story about it. I got the books, and I got this arithmetic book. And on the first page, the first problem is the division. Division. Well, I looked at that and see, the problem is, I know about adding and subtracting, but I ain't heard there be no division. And here it is. But no problem, because it's got five pages just ahead of that tells you how to do it. So we go in the classroom and we begin our arithmetic class. And the teacher's kind of keeping an eye on me. She knows I'm an A student. And here I am. I can't get off the ground with this talk. And so I read the instructions, and the more I read them, the more confused I get. I just can't relate to this. Then she sees that I'm in trouble, so she comes to me finally, and she says, what's the matter, Jack? I said, I don't understand this. She said, have you read the instructions? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, scoot over, son. I just scooted over, and she sat down right here, put her arm around me right here, and put that book right here and said, this is division, Jack. The first problem is 6 divided by 2. Now, well, I said, that's what I don't understand. She said, let's see, y'all farm out at your place, don't you? And I said, yes, ma'am. She said, how many mules, this is back mule plow days, how many mules make a team? I said, 2. She said, all right, Jack, if I had 6 mules in your corral, how many teams would I have? And I said, 3. The word became flesh. Now, I couldn't relate to them instructions in that book, but when she sat down beside me and put her arm around me and showed me how it was, hallelujah, I got it. I got it good. I never had no more problems with that, hallelujah, because the problem, the arithmetic, became flesh. And Dwayne's right there, sitting right on the seat next to me. Now, that's what happened when the Word became flesh. He came and walked among his disciples, and he explained it to them. He took the projections that were hard and said, this day is this fulfilled in your very presence and in your eyes. The Word became flesh. They touched him. They handled him. They ate with him. They lived with him. Hallelujah. And God, for the first time, the invisible God, Jesus had become the visible expression of the invisible God. And here he was. They could relate to him. He was a man like as unto themselves. And he could say, I love you. And that would thrill them so well. But instead of saying it, he most generally would do some other generous gesture, like girding himself with a towel and washing their feet, feeding them when they were hungry. Most generally. Oh, what a beautiful way for God to express himself to us. Now, we said that this gospel of the kingdom has to be preached to all the world for witness to all nations. No nation will have any excuse in that day when all stands before God. No individual will have an excuse to offer when we stand before God. All men will be judged that has ever been born. Hallelujah. Amen. But there is a scripture that says, pray that you may be accounted worthy to escape these things that come upon the earth. I'll tell you frankly, I don't see a judgment for the sons of God beyond the first resurrection. Now, I could teach on that, but I just threw it out. You can do your own research. Search the scriptures as you will, and you'll find no judgment for the sons of God, those that rise in the first resurrection, beyond the first resurrection. What has happened? All men must be judged. I see a judgment for those that rise not again for 1,000 years, indeed. I see a judgment and the books that they're judged from. They're judged from 5 books. But there's no judgment for the sons of God beyond the first resurrection, so that tells me something that they have already been judged. So Luke says, pray that you may be counted worthy to escape that is coming upon the world. Pray that you may be counted worthy. How can you be counted worthy? How can I count you worthy? If you were competing in something and I was a judge, how could I declare you worthy? By what mechanics? I'd have to judge, wouldn't I? Then that tells me that the sons of God have already been judged before the first resurrection takes place. And they have been judged worthy to have eternal life. Glory. I could get excited about that if I would. Now, I have on occasion done so. That excites me. Hallelujah. To think, you know what we're going to do? What? Well, 144,000 is going to walk right into the kingdom in boot leather. Hallelujah. And when those pit straddlers and those that wanted to come but just didn't quite want to pay the price sees what the 144,000 first fruit has done, I'll tell you there's going to be a bountiful harvest. They're going to get in all seriousness fast, and they're better because they hadn't got long to prepare. It won't be long till you can't hide over. Hallelujah. All right, let's get further into the message here in St. John, chapter 3, we're going to chapter 3, we'll get verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't see this until you are born again, or until you... Hallelujah. Well, let me just drop you a real bombshell here and tell you that nobody can see this until you're born again. And would it surprise you if I were to say, let me just say it of myself. It might offend you if I tell you that you're not born again. So just let me say that I am not born again. Now, you want to think about that a minute. I'm going to let you think about it a minute. I use the term, I'm born again, just for a means of identification. But I know better than that. I am not born again. Let me tell you what state I am in. I am in gestation. I'm in the womb of the church, awaiting the morning when he shall have a willing people in the day of the Lord. I'm awaiting a birth. All right, I see I'm going to have to prove this with scriptures, aren't I? All right. We don't mind that at all. I like to do it, because, yeah, I stay with the scriptures, you know. I'm not like the... Did I tell you about the time that we were riding down the road, we were making one of them overnight trips, another preacher and I was listening to all them preachers from Del Rio, 30 minutes, you know, apiece, and all of them was after all the rest of them, and don't nobody get offended at my statements here. I'll bring you out in a minute. You'll see what I'm talking about. I don't just bounce off the wall. And we were listening to these, and everyone come on. He's the only one, you know, is preaching, and they're all, of course, giving their address and offerings, and we'd listen to them about. We'd commented on them several times, drove along. Finally, this one comes on with I has a loud, strong voice, and he assures us right out that he is the only one that's preaching the gospel. He says, I'm going to preach to you right out of the Bible. And for the next 26 minutes, he gave his name and address 20 times and assured us that if he didn't hear from us, he wouldn't be on air next week. Incidentally, he didn't hear from us. And then he closed, and the station gave his address, and he hadn't quoted one scripture, hadn't made reference to one scripture. And the preacher said to me, well, tell me, what did he do? And I said, well, he'd done better than any of them. He said, what? I said, he'd done what he said he was going to do. The rest of them didn't. He said, well, I don't see how you get that. I said, well, he told us right in the mouth of the thing he's going to preach out the Bible, and he sure never did get to it. He was out of it because he never got in it. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to get in it. All right, let's turn over to 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now here it is. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. All right, now I'm going to have to ask you a question. Is there anybody here that cannot commit sin? Anybody here perfect? No fault? No sin? Hurry, I want you to pray for me. Well, I don't have any takers this morning. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now I say again, I'm going back and say again, that I am not born, the birth is not complete. The birth has begun, I am in gestation, I'm in the womb of the morning, I'm waiting my releasing. The whole creation is groaning and travailing in pain, waiting for that same releasing, because you talk about deliverance. You want deliverance? This is deliverance. Hallelujah. When the sons of God have come to the birth, hallelujah. Zion travails. The woman, even now, is in travail. She is impregnated. Hallelujah. With the incorruptible seed of God. And that incorruptible seed is being engrafted into the sons of God. So we're in the womb of the church in gestation. We're waiting the morning of our birth. Hallelujah. And I can hardly wait. Praise the Lord. Amen. I feel like that little old chicken in the egg. You boil an egg, peel the egg off, you see that little dimple in the egg? You know what that's for? You know what that is? That's an oxygen pocket. That's where that little chicken's bill is going to be. When he comes old enough to begin to expand, and when he comes to life, where he takes on oxygen, he's got just enough oxygen in that pocket, if he works hard, to get that shell open and get out where there's some more oxygen. Hallelujah. Well, I feel like that I'm pecking away at the oxygen pocket now. Hallelujah. Amen. And got just enough oxygen, hallelujah, to bring me to the birth. Well, you know that I'm doing this spiritual. I'm not talking about natural things. Hear me by the Spirit this morning. Hear me by the Spirit, and I'll never hurt you. Hallelujah. You don't have to believe everything that I say, but if you do, it won't hurt you. Hallelujah, because I'm not going to take anything away from you. Hallelujah. Stay with you. Have all the concepts you want. Just come with me to Zion. And then if I'm wrong, you can exercise and execute your concepts from Zion as good as you can from the... Hallelujah, from the lowly element. Hallelujah, you see? I'm saying that if you move with God in the move of God, you don't lose anything. Oh, bless God. Hallelujah. Well, let me get it down. All right? You can't... He said, Jesus said you had to be born again. You got that? All right? That's how you see the kingdom of God. That's who's going to see the kingdom of God. That's who's going to be in the kingdom of God. Now I'm talking about a full birth. I'm talking about when we come out of this period of gestation and we're birthed. And at that time, that's when we receive our immunity. You know, a newborn baby is immune to diseases that he can catch 6 months later or a year later. Yeah. That's the natural and then the spiritual. Hallelujah. If you do not agree with my teaching, there's one thing about me. I don't demand that you believe everything just the way I believe it. If you won't demand that I believe everything just the way that you believe it, hallelujah, and we can fellowship on that, that I is neutral. Don't get offended. Just set it on the shelf, and it may be profitable to you later. If it's not, well, so be it. If it is, you'll be ahead. All right, now let's go to Exodus. I'll show you what God does when he begins to raise up this company. God doesn't do anything on the spur of a moment. He doesn't have to inject plan B or B or C to support plan A. God only has one plan. He always has had one plan. And all of man's other side plans just fit right into it. God has purposed to have a man in the earth in his own likeness with dominion over all of his creation. And that he will have at the end of this age. If nobody in this tabernacle this morning believes it, God will still do it.
Yes, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can't stop God from doing it. The only harm that you can do is you can shut yourself out to your unbelief. Oh, but I don't feel a great spirit of unbelief here this morning. I feel the spirit of the hungry people that are reaching for it. Let me show you here then what happens when God gets ready. All right? You remember that God prophesied to, became his own prophet, prophesied to Abraham that Abraham's posterity would go down into Egypt. There they would be persecuted for 400 years, then they would come up out of Egypt with a mighty hand. All right? So they went down, but as it happened, they're going to be down there 430 years. Somebody said, well, God said 400. No, he said they'd be persecuted 400. They were 30 years in favor down there with the Pharaoh. Then they went into persecution, and they were 400 years. Now, when they've been in Egypt, counting the good time that they had in Egypt, plus all the persecution, they've been there now about 375 years, give or take five. When this incident happens, God knows how long they've been there. He knows how long they're going to be there. So he begins to prepare a deliverer that will bring them out of Egypt. See, God's preparing deliverers now. And he's going to have the systems of the world to release his people. But he has to have some teachers. Oh, I visualize a time when we'll be teaching around the clock. One group will leave and another group will come. As a matter of fact, we're teaching not around the clock, but we've got several teaching sessions going on in our home church now. People, you wouldn't believe we've got people that comes off of a job there. They work 12-hour shifts, and they get off at 7:30 in the morning, come by the church there for 2-hour Bible study. Sometimes there'll be 25, 30 men, and then a ladies a group, and then sometimes they get together and have one. I visualize the time these young ministers stay with me. I teach them. I'll train them. I'll teach them. If they'll stay with me and be submissive, in a year's time, they can teach. They can give you not only the concept, but the mechanics. I'll quote the whole book to them in less than a year's time, plus reading it and laying it out 1, 2, 3. I will have touched it from every angle to them. And like I say, don't let me mislead you here, and I don't want to sound boastful. I could be wrong on some of my concepts. But if I am wrong, it's not going to hurt me because the concepts that I have will not hurt. Because if I'm going for the ultimate. Hallelujah. And anything between here and the ultimate, I will embrace it.
Yes, I embrace it all. I love it all. I came through the legalistic, all the aspects of it.
All right, this is what happened then. God knew that it was about 60 years from now, he's going to bring deliverance to Israel. So he begins to raise up a deliverer. Here's how he does it. In Exodus chapter 2, verse 1, there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, daubed it with slime, with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid him in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and beheld, the baby wept, and she had compassion on him, and said, this is one of the Hebrew children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women,
that she may nurse the child for thee. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. What a beautiful story this is. But, oh, it's far more beautiful when we understand the impact here. Now, let's see what happened. All right, we said it was perhaps 60 years before the Exodus was to begin. The reason I say that is that this Miriam, the sister, was at least, what, 10 years older than Moses. She had a brother also older than him. So I'm giving them 20 years before, 15 or 20 years before Moses is born. But what has happened here, notice the impact here is the first verse. He sent a man of the house of Levi to take a wife of the daughter of Levi. Now, you know what he's going for? He's going for a thoroughbred. Hallelujah. This man who is going to father the deliverer is not going to father this deliverer by just any woman. This man is going to be a deliverer. He must not, hallelujah, he must have the right lineage. Well, now let me pause here long enough to say that now again you have to hear me in the spirit. I'm not saying that genealogical lineage is anything. I'm not saying that it's not. I'm talking about this in the spirit now. You must have the right spiritual lineage if you get into this sonship covenant. Hallelujah. You see, he's going to have a thoroughbred here. He sends a man of Levi to a daughter of Levi. And he's after a certain strain here. You know what he's going to do? He's going to raise up a deliverer. My ancestors, my forefathers, were cattle breeders, horse breeders, farmers, and always, including myself, until a few years back. And they kept logs, you know, the books on everything. My granddaddy told me that it took 16 generations to breed some kind of a distinctive lineage in coloring or a characteristic. Out of an animal, a horse. You know that quarter horses? Well, the quarter horse is, he's not full blood, he's thoroughbred, quarter horse. But he's mixed with a lot of things. What they do is just, you know, you gotta get the Mustang. You know about Mustang horses? Well, let me tell you about a Mustang horse. A Mustang horse is a little horse. He's tough. He's durable. But he's not heavy on discipline. He can't be disciplined. So what you gotta do, we want some of that Mustang's characteristics in this horse. We want his durability. We want his toughness. We want his speed. What we don't want is his rebellion. So we got to cross him 3 or 4 times just to get rid of the spirit of rebellion and preserve the, you see what's happening here? He goes to Levi cause and gets a daughter of Levi, for out of this union is going to come a deliverer. Hallelujah. Yeah. The deliverer is going to come out of the Sarah church. Amen, you see. He takes this man, all right? Now, and Moses, well, you have got the story here. He's turned over to this Pharaoh's daughter to bring up. She adopts him. He was the crown prince of Egypt, next in line for the throne. When he grew up and got grown. All right, so the sister says to me, I go bring one of the Hebrew women. And she went and brought Moses' actual biological mother. Because this deliverer must not suck the palps of an Egyptian. He's going to be a thoroughbred, if you please. Hallelujah. Amen. A deliverer that... Well, what is a thoroughbred in the spirit? It's one that is completely purged. Has been through the deliverance line. Had his spirit, soul, and body purged completely. All of the ties that he cut through the genetic line, broken, that would be a hindrance. All the bonds that he has made in a moment of folly, in a moment of bad judgment, all of these have been broken. And he stands perfected before God. That's a thoroughbred. Well, so God, so he sends, you see, we used to raise quarter horses. Now, quarter horse is a beautiful horse. And he's smart. He's easy to train. And he's a good show horse. He's fast for a short run. I used to ride him all the time. And as a matter of fact, when I first started, got big enough to go down, that's where he went down, with town horse. And I had a quarter horse that I rode all the time. And he was beautiful. And when I'd get close to town, I'd make him throw a bow in his neck. And come up through town with some pride. Amen. And he looked good. Well, that's all right if you're riding through town. But
But you know, the psalmist said, he maketh my feet like hinds' feet. Now, hinds is a member of the deer family. You know why he wanted his feet like hinds' feet? You watch an old quarter horse when he prances away, his back foot oversteps his front foot about that far.
Well, the older he gets, closer it comes together, but he never tracks.
But a donkey, on the other hand, he sets his back foot right in his front foot's track. So if you're going up mountains in treacherous terrain, you ride a donkey. You don't take a quarter horse up a mountain with rocks, loose rocks, because he won't get up the mountain. He'll look where he's putting his front foot, but he has no idea where that back foot's going to hit, and it hits on a pebble, and down he comes. He weighs 1,000, 1,200 pounds, so he'll roll over you and kick it. But the little old donkey, he watches where he puts his front foot, and he don't have to worry about the back. It's tracks. He maketh my feet like hind feet. Sure-footed. Sure-footed, to be sure. Well, all right, so this is what Moses has got to be. He's got to, all right, let me say that they're looking for a certain strain here in this man, and I'll show you what it is, because he's going to be a deliverer. I tell you about the fellow that worked with me one time, and he had fighting roosters. It's illegal to fight roosters in Texas. Guess it is in Arkansas, too. Probably most states. But anyway, they raise them and they fight them. And he fought them. And they keep a log on them thing you wouldn't believe. And if a rooster quit in the ring, in the pit where they throw him to fight, if he quits before he dies, if he don't fight to the death, you know what they do with him? They kill him. Well, that ain't so bad, but what makes it bad, when he gets home, he goes and pulls out the ledger and, you know, they'll say you're 10 to him. you know why he did that? This blood strain showed up that doesn't have the endurance. It won't fight. But now, God was looking for a strain in Moses that wouldn't crumble under pressure. Boy, he needed it, didn't he? Well, let me show you what he's looking for in Hebrews. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 11, and I just show you right out of the Word. I've got to wind down here in just a short time to share the time with my brother back here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right. In the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and by faith the parents of Moses, what verse is that? 24? Yeah, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose rather, this is not exactly by faith when he was born. Here it is. 23rd verse is one I really want. And by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. And here it is. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. Now, you would have thought they were if you'd have been there and watched what they did, but here we have the Holy Ghost telling us that they were not afraid. This is a strain that God's looking for in his sons of God. All right, then we come on down to Moses in verse 27. By faith he forsook Egypt, here it is, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Here it is, here's the same strain from father to son. This is what God was looking for. That characteristic that wouldn't panic under pressure. That wouldn't quit when the stakes got high. That wouldn't quit when the odds were unfavorable. He's looking, that was the strain that he was looking for. Now, if you just read the narration where it happened, it looks for all the world like Moses is running in fear of his life, doesn't it? But the Holy Ghost says, no, he wasn't afraid of the king's wrath. This is what God was looking for. When he finds a people that is not afraid of the wrath of the kings of this world, the rulers of this world, they that would turn you aside, to that one that is trained like a quarter horse. Hallelujah. That will stand for hours until he hears a command to go. Hey, we're not. All right. Now, since Moses has a strain, he has two mothers. He has a biological mother who taught him the ways of Israel, and he has an Egyptian mother who gave him prestige and position in life. And so, in order to, for him to become a great deliverer, God has to have him exiled from both mothers. He gets a double weaning, if you please. You know about the double weaning in Isaiah 28 and 9. Isn't it Isaiah 28 and 9? Whom shall he teach? Whom shall he teach doctrine? Let's go over and I'll read it. I can quote it. Whom shall he teach knowledge? Whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. That's a double meaning. Any way you look at it, the sons of God have to have double meaning to deliver us, the deliverance ministry. So you can't come to, you can never get to Zion who I'm talking about without deliverance. There's deliverance. Without salvation. All of it. It all goes together. And what I'm talking about is the elect in perfection. And I call it sons of God because the Bible likes that term. I like it. But you will have to be, there's no way to get there without deliverance. You have to be purged. So there has to be deliverance ministry. And there have to be salvation ministry, you know. There has to be. God's using all of it. But what he wants to do is bring us to Zion. He wants to give us an apostolic ministry is what he wants to do. Hallelujah. All right, so then we have, so you have to have the double leaning. Now, many have then had the one leaning. You know what the first leaning is when you come out of the mother denomination. You see, a lot of people have had that leaning. Let me say, in passing here, there are no denominations going to come to what I'm talking about. There's people in the denominations that will come out of the denominations and come to what I'm talking about, but the denominations will not come. As a matter of fact, they have to be, they're all destined to go. They're kingdoms of this world. Man programmed, man motivated, and man idolized. I tell you, without any reservation at all, that no denomination can come into this that I'm talking about. They will not accept it, because it does away with all of the human programming, and you have to move with God. You have to move by revelation. You have to move in submission. You have to adhere to divine order, which they're certainly not going to do. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not against the people in the denominations. I'm against the system. Hallelujah. But many have had the first weaning. You know, when you wean a baby, well, they don't do it so much now, but used to be breastfed babies, and they're kind of getting back to it some now, I think. But when you breastfed a baby and you got ready to wean them, the mother took the child off the breast, but when he cried, she stuck a bottle in his mouth. So he had to have a double weaning before he could go to school. He had to be weaned from the breast, and then finally you got to wean him from that bottle. Now, what I'm saying is, many have had the first weaning. They've come out of the denomination, but the denominations are still funneling the milk to them through their pamphlets and letters and literature. Hallelujah. And so what they have to finally have is a double weaning. You have to get weaned from all of that. There are a lot of churches, I know a lot of churches that have come out of certain denominations, that is, they're not affiliated with them, but for all the world, I wonder why. I mean, they've just got the first weaning, they've just come out, they're still using the same literature they're using when they're in there, still teaching, preaching the same thing, still doing just like they was doing. They need a double weaning, and then he can teach them doctrine, sonship, elite, the new birth. Hallelujah! Praise God. You see, yeah. He must have a double weaning. Now, God's going to get him out from under the influence of both of these women, because this man will have to be motivated by a word from God. He'll have to know God. He'll have to know the voice of God. He'll have to be sensitive. He'll have to be stern. The Bible said he was the meekest man in the earth, but that word meek, they don't use it like we use that word. Oh, it means that he was... can you imagine on the terms that we mean meek here, Moses stand before Pharaoh and say, when we go into the wilderness, we won't leave one hoof behind. We're just getting our orders a day or two at a time, and we don't know what God will demand of us when we get out there. He may want a bullock for an offering, and here we'd be left our cattle back here. No, we're going to take it all forward as we go. That's the only way to get to Zion, my friend, is to just, hallelujah, bring it all. Bring your all. Come to God. And you will never be sorry you did. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I'll just quit right here. I couldn't get through if I had all day long, you know. And I never get through. I never try to get through anymore. I just quit. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm going to pray for you, and then I'm going to sit down and give my brother. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, as we've stood before this gracious people this morning, unfolded the word of life, O Lord. I pray that you take every word of it, Lord, that would be profitable to the kingdom and profitable to this people, and bind it to their hearts and to their minds, Lord. I seal it to their minds, O Lord. But if there be anything that I said, Lord, it would be a hindrance anywhere, in any fashion, in any way. Lord, I take responsibility for that, and it was me that said it and not you. And I pray that you would cause them to forget anything that would be harmful to them, If I possibly said anything that would be harmful, I pray they would forget it before they get out of the tabernacle here, Lord. Even now that you would erase it from their minds. But all of that that is profitable, Lord, I seal to their minds for eternity. I pray for this people because they have been an attentive people this morning. Hallelujah. They've come from far and from nearby also, Lord, to be blessed of the Lord, my Lord and our God. And it is our ever endeavor and intention to help all of God's people that we come in contact with and to by no means hurt any. Hallelujah. 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 We believe the words that we have spoken. We believe that we have expounded the Scriptures, Lord. We believe that it has found lodging places in many hearts. Lord, if there are some that it troubles, I pray that it wouldn't trouble them to an offensive point, Lord. May they just forget it, Lord. But all that is profitable, I bind to the minds and spirits for eternity. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Thy word is a lamp to our feet, and a light to our pathway. And the very entrance of the word brings light. So, Lord, we thank you for the quickening of your word to our hearts today. And, Father, we bless this people for a few minutes here as we share a few of the scriptures. And then, Lord, as we endeavor to minister to some, we ask the Holy Spirit to help us, encourage us, and give us direction by the Holy Spirit and illumination in your word and by your spirit. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. There are five ways that we are tested. We're tested by our failures. How many has ever failed? Besides me. Two, you're tested by your successes. Now, we could give you scriptures on all this, but we're just going to deal with one point. You're tested in the furnace of affliction. Actually, that's where you're chosen, Isaiah 48, I think, verse 10, somewhere in there. And then God withdraws our consciousness of His presence sometimes. How many has ever felt like that God wasn't in, there in you or around you, but He's there, isn't He? And, the Bible said God left Hezekiah to try to see what was in his heart. Now, God knows what's in our heart, but we don't always know. But sometimes God withdraws our consciousness of His presence, all right? Now, the fifth way we're tested, and I think this is a big one, is that God leaves some of the enemy in our land, and we've got to deal with it. Amen? Now, let's turn to a few scriptures. Turn to Deuteronomy today, chapter 7. I enjoyed that word by Brother Jack.
Amen.
Amen. That was a good word. Praise the Lord. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, and we want to look at verse 22. And God said to us in verse 22, and the Lord thy God. I mean, know that we've got to rely on God when we need deliverance. It's not going to be just what we know, although that's important. And it's not going to be our own strength that's going to deliver. It's going to be the power of God. Isn't that right? I mean, Jesus said, if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God and the power of God come to you. And he said right here, and the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee by little and little. He did not allow them to drive them out all at once, did he? Well, how many know you're not going to drive all the enemy out of your land at once? I'd like to be able to, but we can't stand it yet. Amen? But God said little by little, and that's a principle in God's word. That thou mayest not consume them or destroy them at once. Let the beast on the field. Now, I know there's a beast nature in us, and I'm not dealing with that. I mean, no, the spirits, demon spirits are beasts. Amen? Unless, he said, the beast of the field. I mean, no, Jesus said the field is the what? The world. How many know there are spirits in the world? Lust the eyes of flesh by lust. Amen? That comes against all of us. Okay? Lest the beast of the field increase upon thee. So God set a principle down. You can only drive them out little by little unless the beast would increase against you. I mean, no, we can't handle that until we grow up in God and we're continually getting delivered. Deliverance is a process. Isn't that right? And there's different ways of deliverance coming. You can't put deliverance in a package, but thank God, whatever way it comes, we need it.
Hallelujah.
Whether it's through music, whether it's through the priest's word or what, or however it is, brother, we need it. And as I was telling Brother Moody, there's no way that we can be a son without deliverance. And yet I hear people fighting deliverance all the time. But we need it. We're going to be a son. Now, but the Lord thy God shall deliver them unto thee, thank God, and shall destroy them with a mighty destruction until they be destroyed.
God's going to destroy them through you and me. And there's going to be a mighty destruction upon the enemy of your soul and my soul. Amen? We need to see like God sees. Amen? Many times we're not aware of the enemy lurking around us and doing things, but all we can see is God sees. God wants the enemy destroyed, do we? Hallelujah. And he shall deliver their kings into thine hands, and thou shalt destroy their name from under heaven. There shall no man be able to stand before thee until thou have destroyed them. The graven images of their gods. America has a lot of gods, doesn't she? Christians have a lot of gods. John said, keep yourself from idols, little children. And how many know that you, as you grow in God, all of a sudden God will put his finger on you and you'll see there's an idol there. Or he'll wake up the night and he'll show you you're coveting. Or you've got this and you got that. How many know you've got to deal with those things? But the graven images, the idols, God said, of their God, shall you burn with fire. How many know we got a real fire today? Holy Ghost. I mean, you can destroy the natural things and burn it in the natural fire. But we got a real fire to destroy those idols. Amen? And thou shalt not desire the silver nor gold that's on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein or led astray. For it is an abomination to the Lord thy God, whatever God it may be. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house. How many know this is a house out here? We know we have our natural homes we live in, but right here. Turn over just a minute. I'm getting the scripture. Turn to 2 John a minute. 2 John in the epistle in the back. Yes. 2 John 9 and 10 and 11. It said, whosoever transgresseth and abides not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, the one he just talked about there, receive him not into what? Your house, neither bid him God speed. For he that bids him God speed is partaker of his evil deed. Now, you know, you can invite a person into your natural home. But how many know this is the real house and home you got to guard right here? Amen? This is where the damage can be done right here if we open up. How many's ever seen so much mind control in all your life going on? In the church. Amen? But we open up to those things. Neither shalt thou bring abomination into thy house, back in Deuteronomy now, lest thou be a cursed thing like it, but thou shalt utterly detest it, thou shalt utterly avoid, for it is a cursed thing, whatever it may be, whatever you bring into your house. Now, turn to Joshua chapter 11. Joshua, and verse 22. Now, Joshua, God told you. Moses the shepherd gave way to Joshua the soldier. Hallelujah. And Joshua, we know, was to take the people in and rid the land. But look in chapter 11, 22. It said, there was none of the Anakim left in the land of the children of Israel, the giants. Only, important right here, in Gaza, in Gath, and in Ashdod, there remained. Well, how many know if you don't deal with the enemy, somewhere down the line, it's going to trip you up or trip somebody up in your family. Isn't that right? And right here, there was something left in Gaza. Gaza is where Samson went into the harlot. Remember that? I mean, all that tripped him up. And in Gath is where the giant was that David had to fight. He came out and defied God's people, didn't he? And yet in Ashdod, turn over to Nehemiah 13. Let's look at Ashdod a minute. Nehemiah chapter 13, 23. Praise you, Lord. And notice, in those days also saw I Jews that had married wives of Ashdod, of Ammon, and of Moab. How many know God back here told the Jews not to intermarry? Verse 24. And how many know they suffered for it? Verse 24. I sure like what my brother was talking about the thoroughbred today, didn't you? How that Moses' father took the right wife. Verse 24. And the children spake half in the speech of Ashdod, and could not speak in the Jews' language, but according to the language of each people. I'm going to read that again. In those days, I saw Jews that had married wives of Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab, and the children spake half in the speech of Ashdod, and could not speak the Jews' language. How many know there's a lot of people say I'm a Christian, but they can't speak the Jews' language? Huh? How many know we're spiritual Jews, circumcised in the spirit, in the heart, isn't that right? And yet, Joshua rid the land, but yet he left them in Gaza, he left them in Gath, and he left them in Ashdod, and he became a snare to God's people down the line. Hallelujah. And if God's putting his finger upon the enemy in your life and my life, how many know we better deal with it? Because if we don't, he'll show his head somewhere down the line. Amen? Don't jot me down. True. Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2. Verse 21. Now, Judges is a tremendous book. The book of Judges. Some have said the Judges are like apostles today. I don't doubt it. Amen? How many know the foundation of ministers, apostles, and prophets? Who wrote the Old Testament mainly? Prophets. And who's writing mainly the New Testament? Apostles. We need both, don't we?
Now, in Judges 2:21, notice he said, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them I may do something, God said. What's he going to do, brethren? He's going to test Israel. He's going to prove Israel. I mean, no, you're going to be proven. You're going to be tested. God is going to allow some of that enemy to remain in your land and see what you're going to do about it. See what I'm going to do about it. And yet we have people saying, we don't need deliverance today. But we need it more than ever. And I don't know about you, but I probably need it more than any of you. Hallelujah. That's the way I feel. And I believe in it. Hallelujah. Now notice what he said, brother. That through them I may prove Israel, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein as the fathers did keep it or not. Therefore, because of this, the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua. So God left some enemy, didn't he? Amen? Hallelujah. Now, you know, we preach sonship. Brother Jack preaches sonship. Many other good brothers preach sonship. But how many know there are those who say they're already perfect? I admit it, yes. I mean, I've heard them say that. But I'd like to see the fruit of it, wouldn't you, Jack? Yeah. I mean, if there was really some sons on the scene, brother, it would not only be changed here, it would be a change out there, too.
Hallelujah.
Isn't that right? But I'll tell you what, God's going to have his sons, isn't that right? God's going to manifest his sons in God's time, the Father's time, and they're going to come forth, and creation will be delivered. But God's working on us now to get our lives cleaned up. Amen? Spirit, soul, and body. How many know the scripture says we must purge ourselves from all filthiness or uncleanness of spirit and flesh? Who's going to do that? You and I, as we yield to God. Hallelujah. Amen? So God's ridding the enemy. Now turn to Deuteronomy 31. Just a few more scriptures here. I don't want to go very long because I want to share, maybe minister to a few of you or something. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 27. Now hear what Moses said. I'm sure this broke his heart when he said it. Deuteronomy 31:27. For I know something by revelation. I know, he said, thy rebellion or thy disobedience and thy stiff neck. I mean, if we got a stiff neck, we can be cut off. I mean, the neck speaks of our will. And God said, I know thy rebellion through Moses and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, you have been rebellious against the Lord, and how much more after my death? Gather unto me all the elders of your tribes, your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears and call heaven and earth to record against them. For I know that after my death, Moses said, you will utterly do something. Corrupt yourselves. Hallelujah. I mean, our flesh likes fleshly things. And our flesh likes the world. And that's why Paul said, I die daily. And how many know there's a real dying, brethren, if you're going to follow Jesus? Jesus said you've got to deny yourself and take up your cross when? Daily. Well, what's my cross? It's where your will comes in line with God's will and you lay yours down for His. That's part of it. Amen? But Moses said, I know after my death you're going to utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way I've commanded you, and evil will befall you when? In the latter day. Because it's going to, God's people. Because you will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke Him to anger through the works of your hands. I believe, brethren, we're coming to a time we're going to have lips to live so close to Jesus. There's so many deceptions, so many things coming into the church. We've got to stay close to God. Amen? And we've got to submit to one another. We've got to hear the ministers. We've got to, you know, whoever God sends our way. I believe the reason great men of God have fallen is this one reason. You can write it down if you want to. One reason why many great men have fallen is because they refuse to submit to others. Amen? And God would send people to them, and they would shun them, and wouldn't listen to them. And what happened? They died. I mean, many men die at the golden altar of incense, like Uzziah. You know, he was a king, and boy, he just rushed on in there as a priest, and I mean, they threw him out with leprosy in his forehead, uncleanness in the soul. Isn't that right? God had some priests, and went in and threw him out. I don't want to die that way. How about you? I want to hear God. I want to submit to God. And if there's rebellion in me, I want to get it out. I know there is in me, there is rebellion. Rebellious yet. But I want God to deliver me. Amen? I don't want no beast working in me and through me like he has in the past. I want to be purged and cleansed. I want to be like Jesus. But I know it's going to take a purging and a cleansing. A couple more scriptures here. Turn with me now to Isaiah 56. Now God said he would leave some of those beasts. Isn't that right? And we would have to deal with those beasts. Isaiah 56, listen to what God said here in this scripture, concerning the watchman here. In Isaiah 56,
In Isaiah 56, 9, notice what God said. All ye beasts of the field, all ye beasts of the field, come to what? To destroy, to devour. What the beasts want to do? They want to devour. They want to destroy God's people. Isn't that right? We saw that last night. Yet all ye beasts were in the what? Forest. Remember we said the tree cutters come in to cut the trees down? Amen. How many remember we're trees? Verse 10, his watchmen are blind. They can't see. No vision, no revelation, no discernment. They are all ignorant. How many know if you're ignorant? There's spiritual darkness working in you. And there are areas in all of us that we are ignorant in certain areas. Paul said, if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. And they are all dumb dogs. No trumpet can be blown. You wouldn't want a dog that wasn't warning you, would you? Thief was coming. And God's talking about the watchman that watches and looks for the enemy. They're like dumb dogs. They cannot bark. I know you've got to hear the bark. To speak, you've got to hear. Sleeping. There it is, lying down, loving to slumber. That's their lifestyle. Yes, he's in the inside. Yea, they're all greedy dogs. My brother talked about the dogs and hog crowd. I mean, God puts them about in the same category. They're greedy dogs which can never have enough. And they are what? Shepherds that cannot understand. They all, I mean, with all you're getting, you've got to get something. They all look to their own way. Everyone for his gain, they're out for self. And from his quarter, come, you say, and I will fetch wine and so forth. So here's a picture. The shepherds are slumbering. The shepherds cannot see. They cannot bark. They're looking out for themselves. And God says, all you beasts in the field, come to devour, to destroy in the forest. And brother, let me tell you, they're in the forest today. But thank God the power of God can get them out. How do you believe that? The power of God can rend and destroy that enemy. Now turn to Leviticus 26. And I want to give you a little outline, just three things here in this chapter. Of course, we're not going to cover the whole chapter, but just a few verses. But in verses 1 through 13 of Leviticus are the blessings of God. We're always interested in that, aren't we? And 14 through 39 are the curses. I mean, no curses are real. And 40 through 46 speak to repentance and restoration. I'll give you that again. 1 through 13 speaks of the blessing of God. 14 through 39 speaks of the curses. And 40 through 46 speaks of repentance and restoration. Hallelujah. How many know in the book of Revelation, Jesus told the churches their good points. He told them their bad points. And he told them what to do about it, to repent. Amen. Now, in Leviticus 26, verse 1, brethren, it says, oh, hallelujah. You shall make you no idols nor graven image. Neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall you set up an image of stone in your land. Now the word land, the verses we're looking at here, is mentioned six times. What's number six? I mean, we got a lot of images right here. Idols right here. Of course, back there is the natural. And God said, you set up an image of stone in your land, so bow down to it. I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. Here again is my sanctuary right here. Today. Verse 3. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, verse 4, then I will give you something. I'll give you the Holy Ghost rain in due season. And the land shall yield her increase. The trees of the field shall yield her fruit. And verse 5. And your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and you shall eat your bread shall be full, and dwell where? In your land safely. Now look at verse 6. And I will give peace in the land. How many know that's kingdom living? And you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid, there's no fear. And I will rid, notice what God said, I will rid evil beasts out of your land. Neither shall the sword go through your land, brother. And I want to tell you, when God rids the enemy, you're going to have peace. You're going to have kingdom living. You can lie down, and you won't be afraid. Amen?
Hallelujah.
I mean, Paul said, I fought with a beast at Ephesus. Well, how many know if you're going over God, you're going to have a few battles with some of those beasts? Not just out there in the air, but I mean even things in you. Amen? Well, let's stand. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.